Can we commence the meeting with hymn number 409, 409. We're traveling home to heaven above. Will you go? Will you go? To sing the Saviour's dying love. Will you go? Will you go? Millions have reached that blissful shore, their trials and their labours o'er, and yet there's room for millions more. Will you go? Will you go? We might stand to sing this hymn 409.
We're traveling home to heaven above. Will you go? Will you go? To sing the Savior's dying love. Will you go? Will you go? Millions have reached that blissful shore.
Just take a moment to speak to God in prayer. Our God and Father, we bow in thy presence in the precious name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the mention of his name. We thank thee for the work that he has accomplished at the cross at Calvary. In perfect obedience to thy will, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we thank thee for the price that he paid, and that he tasted death for every man. And we thank thee that today we can speak of a number of us, and we are traveling home to heaven above. And there is in the proclamation of the gospel that invitation to those that don't know the Savior, will they go also? We thank thee for the choice that they can make, even here tonight, unrestricted. And we thank thee that the Lord is near, and there is the opportunity to seek him while he may be found. And as we open the scriptures, we pray that much help might be given and clarity of the thought may be found tonight, and that there may be someone that would turn and trust the Savior and would be able to say that they too are traveling home to heaven above. We thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee for thy Son, and look to thee for the needed help in his worthy name. Now we will take time to sing from verse number 403. There is a voice that is calling to thee, and it pleads with its tenderest tone, while it bids thee from God's wrath to flee, and whispers to Jesus, now come. Sinner, hear and obey. 'Tis the voice of the Spirit that cries while he strives. Yield to him, do not quench the convictions that rise. Right, once again, could we stand to sing 403?
Here's a voice that is calling to thee, and it pleads with its tenderest tone, while it bids thee from God's wrath to flee, and whisper to Jesus, now come. Sinner,
Very glad to see each one who's come to the meeting tonight. Make you very welcome. And also those who have joined us online. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And just also thank our brother Ian Bickerstaff. Thank you very much for coming tonight to bring the message of the gospel to us. Just before he would speak to us, we'd remind you of the various meetings for the incoming week. On Thursday evening, the prayer meeting and the Bible reading is at 7:45, and the passage under consideration is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 15. Then next Lord's Day, we have the breaking of bread meeting at 11 a.m., the prayer meeting at 6:30, and the gospel meeting again at 7. And next week, we hope to have Marco Guevara all the way from Brazil. So we make you very welcome. Of course, these meetings are all subject to the will of the Lord, and we just hand over to the meeting to Ian.
I'd like to read, please, on Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll read from verse number 13. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. For any that have a red letter Bible, the words that are spoken by the Lord Jesus himself when he was here on earth are marked in red. And what I have in front of me tonight is just, it's all red. It's all words that were spoken by him. So we'll read from verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. May we look to the Lord to bless these words to us. In these verses that we've read, the Lord Jesus makes a clear distinction between one and another. He speaks of the final destination that lies at the end of life. It will either be destruction or it will be life. There is the wide gate, and there is the straight gate. There is the broad way, and there is the narrow way. And the narrow way has to be found. In terms of the fruit from the trees, he took another object lesson that people could easily relate to. He could speak of fruit being produced by trees, good fruit, from a good tree, bad fruit from a bad tree. And the fruit that is produced reveals the nature of the source. And he speaks of those that proclaimed, Lord, Lord, who professed to be genuine, but unlike his disciples who were genuine, these will be found out to be false and will be found out in the end. And finally, he pictures the storm and the house that is built upon a foundation, a firm foundation that will enable the house to withstand whenever the storm inevitably comes. I was thinking particularly in these first two verses about the broad way and the narrow way. It would be good for anyone to understand from the scriptures what path they are traveling on in regards to the path of life and where it's leading to in eternity. Proverbs 14:12 says, the wisdom of the wise is to know his way. And it will be good to reflect this evening in the light of scripture on what path we're walking. We have sang in our hymn at the start, we're traveling home to heaven above. And the glad reality is that there are a number gathered here that know of a certainty from the scriptures that the way they're traveling on is the way to life and the way to heaven because of the decision that they have made in life to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, the only Savior that is able to save us and to fit us for heaven. Job chapter 23, verse 10, he says, he knoweth the way that I take. And what is very clear from the scriptures is that when God looks down upon mankind, he sees very clearly the way that man takes. And he wants us to be clear as to the path that our feet are on. And we trust that in these few moments we are together, we will get help to understand afresh what this means. It speaks of wide the gate and broad the way. I want to think of the broad way and the gate that is so wide. It's a gate that is wide enough that it will stretch to all humanity. Every person that was ever born commenced on the broad road because at birth they entered the broad way. We were born in sin, unshapen in iniquity. In sin, the psalmist said, did my mother conceive me. We began just as one, alike. By one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men, for that all sinned. We have, no matter what continent or country on earth, all mankind has had the same beginning. And we have not all had the same privilege. Some have been born into wealth and far more into poverty and to lands of oppression or lands of opportunity. And life for some undoubtedly is very difficult. And for some it is easier than others. But the effect of sin, when Adam turned against the word of God and disobeyed him, and Adam and Eve was also in transgression. They were promised the sweat of the brow and difficulties that would come because of the fall. And I would just remind everyone at the commencement that sin has not delivered what Satan promised. He thought of a benefit to mankind that ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He thought to deceive man, that man would be elevated to a higher level and a better outcome if he would succumb to the temptation that Satan presented to them. And that has proven not to be the case. And Satan continues to deceive people today and presents in a myriad form the pleasures of sin and the pastimes and the illusion of progression and a better future and a better present. And it all doesn't stand up or stack up in the light of Holy Scripture. For the wages, we're reminded, the wages of sin is death. And it brings sorrow and strife and toil in life. And ultimately, sin must be dealt with by a righteous God who cannot ignore the fact that man has sinned in rebellion against him. But there is a day of reckoning, and God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, his own blessed Son. And God requireth that which is past. And in Job we also read that there he records that my sin is gathered up, my transgressions as in a bag. Everyone has been seen and noted by God, and a record has been made. And in Revelation chapter 20, we read there of a great white throne of judgment. And the dead, small and great, will stand before God. It will not matter the wealth that man had upon earth then. They will stand individually and consecutively as the books are opened, and they will be judged out of those things that are written according to their works. And I want you to reflect tonight, be present here or elsewhere, to reflect on the things that you have done in life. And we do not have a perfect record. Every one of us would have to confess that we have sinned in thought and in word and in deed. And our path has exactly matched what has been spoken of in Scripture. We have gone astray. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Now the broad road, there is room enough on the broad road for a vast spectrum of behaviors and opinions and activities, and some may seek to lead a life that is very respectable, and I know some people are such, and they are genuinely helpful and caring to other people, and by their manner of living they fully are convinced that they are living a life that will ultimately lead them to a place in heaven. The Scripture warns us that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And to them it seems right that if you live well and help others, that it will bring a reward and that God will look favorably upon them. It seems right, but the Scriptures warns the end thereof are the ways of death. Because this manner of living and good works can never account or take care of our sin, which is present in us all. And this broad road, be it for those that are steeped in sin and wickedness, and for those that attempt to live as best they can, this broad road for both, it says it leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. It's a fixed destination. In Luke chapter 16, we read there of the rich man, or the man that was rich, lifting up his eyes in hell. And he is learning that there is a great gulf fixed, and there is no possibility of him passing from that place to the place where the beggar who died and went to heaven above. There is no possibility. It is a fixed destination. It is far from God. And it will always be far from God. A person reaching the end of life, the broad road, and dying in their sins, the Lord Jesus said, "Where I am, thither ye cannot come." It's a fixed destination. It's a destination where the fire is not quenched, and the worm dieth not. And regardless of any regret then, it will never lead to any relief. And so we warn you, as the Saviour did, of a broad road that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Many go in, and none return. Job could tell us, when a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. Man giveth up the ghost, he also said. And not where was he, but where is he? And I want you to just think, in light of eternity, where will you be? Where will you be in eternity? The broad road that leads to destruction. But the gospel presents a narrow way. A narrow way that leads to life. As somebody was mentioning, today is the longest day of the year. The longest day of daylight. I was in Aberdeen last weekend, and there was an hour more daylight there than there is here. And it just reminds me of the day of grace, the day of opportunity, when the gospel is preached, that God indeed has been long suffering in this day, the day of grace, for he is not willing that any should perish. And he has acted on this. There is a straight gate. There is a narrow gate. This is not all mankind, as wide as all mankind. This gate is one person. And it is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he alone is the means by which a person can enter the narrow way that leads to life. It's very well defined and clear in Scripture that there is neither is there salvation in any other. It's only available in him. And it's only available because he tasted death for every man. He provided a means whereby God's banished be not expelled from him. He provided an opportunity for every person to accept that the Lord Jesus took care of sin, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. His Son has provided a salvation. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And by him alone, by faith in Christ alone, can a person move from the broad way to the narrow way that leads to life. The Lord Jesus himself plainly said, in answer to the question, how can we know the way? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we're urged, he's urging us here, enter ye in at the straight gate. There is good reason to enter in, because destruction can be avoided, and the way to life can be entered upon. And that opportunity is presented to you tonight, to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near. What does that portion of Isaiah go on to say? It said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, God is well aware of your sin, and the fact that you do not deserve to be saved, but he has mercy. you are still hearing the invitation of the gospel, and his grace extends to all. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And God offers you freely tonight, in the person of his Son, a salvation that you can have and never lose, a Savior that you can trust, who will never let you down. And in the scriptures we read so many examples of those that did turn from the way and the manner of life they were on. We think of Saul of Tarsus, the way of religious fervor, misguided and persecuting the saints. We think of Simon Zelotes, the militant resistance man who turned to Christ, that he could sit alongside and serve alongside Matthew, the tax collector who served the occupying power. And they were brought together in Christ. And Peter and Andrew and James and John, you might just say ordinary men, fishermen. And they turned to Christ. They forsook all and they followed him. And they found a new and a living way. And just briefly, the change that this makes, we can think of the trees that we've read about that were known by the fruit that they produced. And we just remind you that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. There is that ability that God gives and the indwelling Holy Spirit for a person to not only trust Christ, but to enter and walk upon a new and living way, the narrow way that leads to life. And the necessity of having the real thing of truly knowing Christ as your Savior is emphasized by this warning of those that proclaim to know the Lord, but he could say, I never knew you. And appearances may look well before others, but Christ alone knows those that are his. And he could say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And there is that security for those that will trust the Savior. Finally, we've gone over the time a few minutes. Just mention the foundation. Inevitably, there are testings that come, and it's only those that have the firm foundation that will be able to stand the inevitable trials and testings that lie ahead. I just ask you to reflect upon these words of the Lord Jesus. He would ask you to examine the way you're on and point to the way that leads to life and urge you, as he urged you, to enter in now while you have that opportunity. We'll speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we do thank thee for the Lord Jesus and the way that he has opened up, where guilty sinners can come acknowledging their need of him and finding one who is willing and able to save and ready to save. And we pray for all that have heard his word tonight, that they might lay at the heart, they might weigh up the consequences of continuing as they are and turn and believe this very hour. We commend the need to thee, ask thee for blessing on the gospel throughout this land and in other lands as well. We ask that many may trust the Savior, as we ask it in his precious name. Amen.